శ్రీమద్ భగవద్గీత చాప్టర్ 17 శ్రద్ధాత్రయ విభాగ యోగ శ్లోక 11 అఫలాకాంక్షిభిర్యజ్ఞ విధిధృష్టో యజ్యతే యష్టవ్యమేవేతి మన సమాధాయ స సాత్విక. సో విత్ ది ప్రీవియస్ శ్లోక త్రీ టైప్స్ ఆఫ్ ఫుడ్ ఆహార దేవర్ డిస్కస్డ్ ది ఎయిత్ శ్లోక ఇట్ గేవ్ సాత్విక ఆహార అండ్ ది నైన్త్ శ్లోక రాజస ఆహార అండ్ ది టెన్త్ శ్లోక తామస ఆహార అండ్ కృష్ణ హ్యాడ్ ప్రామిస్డ్ ఫోర్ టాపిక్స్ యాక్చువల్లీ ఆహార యజ్ఞ తప అండ్ దానం. సో ఆఫ్ దీస్ ఫోర్ ఆహార టాపిక్ ఇస్ ఓవర్. Now the next topic is yajna. That is what Krishna is going to talk about now on worship. Yajna means worship. So shlokas 11, 12, 13. They talk about three types of yajna or three types of worship. And the 11th shloka talks about the sattvika yajna, 12th one rajasa yajna, and the 13th tamasa yajna. Of course, in the beginning of the 17th chapter, we had talked about puja. సో కార్షయంత శరీరస్థం భూతగ్రామం అచేతస ద సిక్స్త్ శ్లోక వి ఆల్రెడీ సా దే. సో కృష్ణ హ్యాడ్ టాక్డ్ అబౌట్ పూజ బట్ ద పర్పస్ ఆఫ్ దట్ టాపిక్ వాస్ టు గివ్ ఎ క్లూ టు ది టైప్ ఆఫ్ శ్రద్ధ ది ఫెయిత్. సో దర్ పూజ వాస్ గివన్ ఇంపార్టెన్స్ అట్ దట్ టైమ్. ఇట్ వాస్ టాక్డ్ అబౌట్ ఓన్లీ యాజ్ అ హింట్ ఆర్ క్లూ ఫార్ నోయింగ్ ద టైప్ ఆఫ్ శ్రద్ధ ఆఫ్ అ పర్సన్. What type of Shraddha he has. Since Shraddha itself is invisible, Puja is visible. So from visible Puja, the invisible Shraddha could be inferred. That is why Puja was talked about earlier. And again, there are also three types of Pujas were clearly distinguished. He only hinted at the Rajasa and Tamasa Puja. But that was not mentioned systematically at that time. Therefore, Krishna directly he talks about the three types of puja or yajna. So it is not a repetition. One should not think it is a repetition. So the second thing is we have to note is the meaning of the word yajna. When Krishna talks about yajna, what does it mean? Now, popularly, yajna is taken as various yagas, you know, which are big rituals, various yajnas, and are capable of giving various results like Putra Kameshti Yajna gives Putra, child, and you know, so many Yajnas are there. And each one of them, there are Yajnas for rain, Yajnas, you know, Jyotishtoma, Yaga for all Swargaloka and all. There are so many types of Yajnas are there. So, Yagas are particular rituals specifically done for various results. They are called Kamya Karmas, expecting some particular result in mind. We are not talking about those specific rituals here. Here Krishna talks about the yajnas which are to be done by all compulsorily throughout one's life, where there is no choice at all. This is common for everybody. We call them as nitya naimittika karmas, like daily prayers and occasional pujas and worship. For example, during Krishna Jayanti, Ramanavami, on those occasions you perform pujas. So, another point to be again seen is, even though the word yajna is translated to worship, when we use this word, it appears to be purely a religious activity. When people talk about yajna, we think it is only a religious activity. Whereas, in our scriptures, we find that even worldly activities are included in the list of yajnas. So, that is why it is said that Hinduism is a way of life. In other religions, the religion is confined to a church or a mosque or a house, something like that. And outside it is totally different, secular. But in our culture, even the most mundane activity like eating, that is also an yajna, that is called Prana Agnihotra. An Agnihotra ritual offered to the Prana Agni. So eating becomes an yajna, bathing is an yajna. For bathing there is a sankalpa is done. So, Agamarshana Suktam, all those suktas are recited during bathing. So, Agam means papam and Marshana means destroyer. So, by reciting this particular suktam, all sins are destroyed. So when I pour water, oh Lord, not only physical purity should go away, impurity should go away, the water recited with the mantra, that should remove my inner impurities as well. So snanam is an yajnam. In short, as was seen in the 9th chapter, yad karoshim, yad ashnasim, yad juhotim, tad asiyatim, yad tapasvati, yad tapasyasi kaunteyam, tad kurushvam, madarpanam. So all are yajnas. These are all like pillar-like shlokas of Gita that should never be forgotten. So whenever you do, whatever you eat, even if you give 5 paisa to a beggar, whatever you do, tadim madarpanam. Offer it to me. It is given to me. It is an yajna. In the 3rd chapter, we talked about pancha maha yajnas, wherein even protecting the animals, the plants, that was also called yajna. So bhuta yajnaha. Bhuta yajnaha means feeding the animals, watering the plants. So that's called Vaishwadevam. So even entertaining guests is an yajna. That's called manushya yajna. So the word yajna, that must be taken as in the widest sense. So we can translate it as the duty of every person towards oneself, the family, and towards the society, and to the world also at large. All of them are yajnas only. They are duties. And where there is no choice, actually, my duty to my family is not a choice. I should do my duty to my family. Nor there can be a question whether they will be useful to me later or not. It is my duty. So this is creating a lot of problem these days, actually. I spent all my money for the sake of my children's education. What is the guarantee that tomorrow they will feed me? All parents worry about all that. According to Shastras, this question should never be raised because it is my duty. So all duties which are compulsory, they come under yajna only, yajna topic. And these duties can be done with different motives. And accordingly, we will divide them into Sattvika Yajna, Rajasika Yajna, and Tamasa Yajna. So the 11th shloka talks about the Sattvika Yajna, the one that we just read. What is that? Yaha Yajnaha Ijyate. That Yajna which is performed, Yaha Yajnaha Ijyate, Aphala Kankshibihi, by those people who are free from the desire for the result. Aphala Kankshibihi. They are free from the desire. They don't desire any result. Palam. Palam is result. And Akanksha means desire. So Akanksha is desire or Icha. Akanksha. So Pala Icha means desire for result. So Aphala Icha means without desire for result. So then Vididrishtaha. That yajna which is done in keeping with the vidhi, with the shastra vidhi, as prescribed in the scriptures, the way it should be done. They did that way only without expecting any result. And therefore, without expecting even punyam or papam, that this prayer should give me lot of money, swarga loka later, without expecting any of them. Or these children should do all these favors for me. For every penny that I have spent, that they must be able to spend it back on me in return later. All these expectations, they become phala icha. But this duty will become a kamya karma. So the nitya karma should never be converted to a kamya karma. Nitya karma are duties. They can never be converted to kamya karma. Duty should never be converted to a kamya karma. Not even gratitude one should expect. Why did this to this person, he should be grateful to me. The recipient must have gratitude, but I should not have expectation of gratitude from him. I have no right to expect gratitude from them at all. So the scriptures command the son that you should be grateful to the parents. But father should never quote the scriptures and say, scriptures say that you should be grateful to me. My father should not expect. So show gratitude to me should never be said. So in spite of all my efforts, if they do not have any gratitude, and sometimes they may even criticize me, or they may blame me, if I worry or expect anything, then it becomes a kamya karma. Then it will not be a sattvika yajna. But I should think, whatever they do, I have done my duty. My happiness does not come from their response whatsoever. My happiness is discharging my duty. That is why they compare it to a runam. Runam means a debt. not in the negative angle. Ṛṇam has got a beautiful meaning actually. When you repay your debt, your happiness comes from what? Your happiness is not based on the response. It is because your burden has gone and the duty of paying back is discharged. So the very action that gives happiness, not the result. So that is why they give the example of Ṛṇa, not in the negative sense, but in the sense where the phalam is attained in the very performance of giving back, you get the phalam. I am happy that I have done it. My son does not value it, but I am happy. I have done it. But because they don't return or take care of me later and I suffer, what do? Accept the suffering as your prarabdha. Purva janma papam. Don't think, oh, my son has betrayed me. No. You cannot compromise with duty to avoid suffering. Your love to your child should not be made a transaction. All these dowries, all those things during marriages are all such basis of such transactions only. For my son's medical college, I have spent so much. So recover it from the father-in-law of the child, poor guy. So if I am not to expect anything in return, then what will be my motive? Krishna says, Eshtavyam. I have to do it. It is compulsory. No choice. I am a human being. I belong to a family. I belong to a society. Therefore, I have to do it. Period. If I don't do it, I stop to be a human being. My very human status is because of my duty alone. So, Eshtavyam. We have to remind ourselves all the time. Especially when anger, frustration, boredom, feeling alone, neglected, when they all come, one has to think of it. I am still happy because I know what I have done. Even though others have not appreciated or acknowledged that, I am happy in the very performance of that duty. But if it does not give me pleasure, what to do? Then we have to learn to like the duty. Simple. That is the only thing. There is no other way. And we can learn to like anything. We can try to learn to like anything. Similarly, duty also, we should learn to like it. We can learn to like duty. We can enjoy it. So, iti manaha samadhaya, with full attention. Samadhana means chitta ekagrata. We have seen it actually in Tattvabodha. So, chitta ekagrata, with full attention, with that one-pointed notion. So actually Krishna emphasizes this because when you don't expect the results, our enthusiasm generally decreases. So Krishna says that also is not proper. You should do your duty with all enthusiasm and love and care and attention. You should keep on doing your duty. How can we develop such an attitude? Very difficult. I am not going to get anything. How can I do it then? For that alone, the word yajna is given. This is an offering to the Lord. How can I offer an imperfect action to the Lord? It is impossible. When I am offering to the Lord, even if it is cleaning something, I do it consciously, taking every part that I do. Nobody is going to watch and acknowledge my cleaning, but the very cleaning is an offering to the Lord. And so I enjoy it. So manaha samadhaya. So doing the duty with full attention and enthusiasm without expecting anything in return, that is called sattvika yajna. Okay. So if you observe the sloka now, we can find that it exactly tallies with the karma yoga prescribed in the third chapter, especially the 8th and the 9th slokas. Niyatam kuru karmatvam karma jayo karmanaha. Niyatam. Niyatam means a duty. We have said that at that time. And yajñārthāt karmaṇon yatra lokoyam karma bandhanaha tadartham karma kaunteya mukta saṅga samācara. There he said mukta saṅgaha, without any attachment to the results. Here he says apala kaṅkṣibihi, same thing. There he said niyatam. Here he says vidhi. Niyatam is duty. Here is also vidhi. So, yogastha kuru karmani, sangam tyaktva dhananjaya, yogastha, that was said in the second chapter. Therefore, in karma yoga, one performs duty, one does not expect the result. And one does it with full attention also. And so we can say that the Sattvika Yajna is equal to Karma Yoga. That's why we are trying to give this analysis. So if you want to put it differently, we can say selfless activity is Sattvika Yajna. In fact, all social service, they all come under Sattvika Yajna only, all of them. But only one condition, even if a person does social service, he should consider that as an offering to the Lord. Then only he will get the Chitta Samskrita, Samskara. That Ishwara Arpana Buddhi, that must be there. I am offering it to the Lord, whatever I do. That is why the word Yajna is used. So in this shloka, Ishwara Arpana is not explicitly told, but we should remember. Since it is called Yajna, Ishwara Arpanam also is included in that. Therefore, performing the duty without expecting anything as an offering to the Lord with full love, care and enthusiasm, that is Karma Yoga, or it is Sattvika Yajna here. Shloka 12. Abhisandayatu palam tambhartam api chaivayate ijyate bharata shreshta tam yajnam viddhi rajasam. So the rajasic person, now what he is going to do? He performs the yajna. He also does his duty. But what is his problem? Palam api sandhaya. He does not do the yajna as nishkama karma. He does those very yajnas as sakama karma. Because according to scriptures, even performance of nitya karma or swadharma produces punyam. It is said, if a person performs his duty, he will go to Swargaloka as a result of the punyam born out of it. But even though that punyam is set in the scriptures, nitya karma is not supposed to be done for the sake of that punya. That punya is only a byproduct. If done with that expectation, it will become a kamya karma. So this rajasic person, he performs the duties all right, but he expects the adrishta palam of punyam. And not only he expects the palam after death, he expects it while living also. What type of palam he wants? Dambhartamapi. He does it for the sake of dhamba. Dhamba means pomp and show. To declare to the people that I have done such a big thing, like this and all that. So he has a duty to build and maintain temples. But one should do it quietly, not to put it in newspapers and all that. Then it will become sattvic. When I do it for the sake of a show, then it becomes rajasic. So dhamba. Dhamba means he can get respect from others. They may glorify, they may put garlands, put him on the stage, all that they can do. So satkara mana pujartham, Krishna will tell later. So everywhere people will welcome him, satkaram, he has done. And manam means respect, puja, every worship he will get for the sake of boosting his status in society. When he does all these various rituals and things, they become rajasic yajna. So palam stands for paroksha palam, paraloka palam. And dhamba stands for ihaloka palam. There is a difference. Palam, that stands for paraloka palam hereafter. And dhamba stands for ihaloka palam during this birth itself. Ijyate. Ijyate means whatever yajna is performed with such an attitude, O Arjuna, tam yajnam rajasam viddhi. May you understand that such an activity as rajasic activity. So if you want to compare sattvic and rajasic, we can put it in simple terms perhaps. Selfless yajna is sattvic yajna and selfish yajna is rajasic yajna. And sattvic yajna is world-oriented, whereas rajasic yajna is self-oriented. In sattvic yajna, ahankara is minimum. In rajasic yajna, ahankara is maximum. Now Krishna is going to talk about tamasic yajna in the next shloka. Shloka 13, we'll read. Vidihinam srishtannam mantrahinam adakshinam shraddha virahitam yajnam tamasam parichakshate. Now, tamasic yajna, that is defined actually further in this shloka. Vidihinam. Vidihinam, in which one does not follow the prescribed rules of an yajna. What are the rules of the yajna that is given in the scriptures? He is not following any of those rules at all. He just does what he wants to do. Because we should remember, when the scriptures prescribe a certain ritual, they are very, very precise in what they prescribe. Because the rules are given. They prescribe everything right from the time onwards, what time it has to be done. If it has to be performed on an Amavasya day, it should be done on that day only. So, Darsha Purna Masa Yajna should be done on those days. It has to be done only on Amavasya and Purnami. And if they say Udite Juhoti, that Yajna has to be performed only after the sunrise, not before that. Similarly, such and such materials have to be used. Such and such deities alone have to be worshipped and invoked. They are all prescribed. And in certain places, the scriptures themselves will give a choice. Vrihi bihi va yavaihi. See, vrihi bihi va yavaihi va. You can either use rice or barley. Yavai is like barley type of this thing. Or vrihi being, that means vrihi is rice. So you can use either rice or barley. They will give you a choice, whichever is available. So when they themselves give a choice, they can use this grain or that grain. Then alone we are supposed, that alone we are supposed to use it. It is exactly like a medical advice. For example, if a doctor says take half a tablet, we take only half a tablet. We don't take two tablets. So why take three times half tablets? I will take one and a half tablets one time. We don't do that. So if it is half, it should be half. If it is after food, it should be after food. If it is for a course of 10 days, for 10 days. So even if you become all right, normally the antibiotic courses, you know, when they give one course of antibiotic, what people do, after 3 days, they would be all done with the all pain or this fear is gone. The doctor would have prescribed for 1 week or 10 days. They will stop it. It will do, it's not going to do good to him. So I don't know the consequences. So I implicitly follow what the doctor tells me. Similarly, whenever an yajna or puja is done, the scriptures they prescribe, which is called vidhi here, injunction, the rules and regulations. And for many, many of them, we don't know the significance of it at all. They never say why. Another peculiarity of scriptures, they don't tell you why. If you ask the question, why can't I change it? The answer is no. You cannot change it yourself. If you ask why, we don't know. Sometimes, if you do not have faith in the scriptures, it may even appear silly. So they will ask you to lift a vessel up to the height of your chest. Lift it like this. Normally they will ask. And you have to do it. Why should we don't know? You don't ask. Tell me what will happen if I don't lift. I'll lift only 6 inches. And you know, I don't know the answer. They ask you to do, you do it. And that's it. And before offering, they will say that the wife should come and look at the ghee and go away. They'll just ask her. So, Patni Aveshitam Ajyam Bhavati. Patni Aveshitam Ajyam. Why? We don't know. But of course, there is a belief that the ghee is supposed to purify everything. But what will purify the ghee? The look of the Patni, the wife's look, will purify that ghee. So, that is the belief. So, before you start doing any yajna, the ghee will purify everything, but the ghee has to be purified by the look of the patni. So that's all various beliefs. So we find rituals are particular, peculiar ones, and they have to be followed as told. How you think by looking at the ghee, by the patni will purify the ghee? Just believe it, that's all. That's given there. So if a person says, I don't believe in any of them, let him not do rituals, doesn't matter. But the moment he comes, if at all he wants to do, you should follow them. If he cannot say, I will not do all these things, but I will do the rituals halfway. He cannot do that. Either obey or don't do at all. If Shraddha is there, do it. If not, just avoid it. You don't have to do it. I want to do it, but I won't fully follow. That does not work. If done, it becomes what? Tamasic yajna. If somebody does it that way, it becomes a tamasic yajna. That is what is said here. Vidihinam, violating the rules. Literally without rules, that's what it means. And asrishtanam, literally without the distribution of food. So without following the rituals, rules, and without distribution of food, because associated with every yajna, annadanam was prescribed. You have to give food to a lot of people. That is a nice method of sharing one's wealth. These days we have social clubs and all that thing. And we got soup kitchens also. But those days, an yajna was performed and food was offered to all people. Dakshinas were given to the Brahmanas who learned the scriptures, which are the basis for this entire culture. and protect them by teaching them also. And they are not supposed to teach Vedas for a fee. Yajna should not be done with a contract. No contract. It will be equivalent to selling the Vedas then. It is an insult to Vedas. Therefore, how these Vedic scholars will survive? Who will feed them? Clothing, land and all, they also need to survive. Therefore, in the Yajna, in the form of Dhanam, food, clothing, land, they were all given to them. It is a nice method of protecting a section of people who have dedicated themselves for the preservation of this Vedic culture. So many people, you know, they also will be fed, because annam should not be sold also. It is anna ninda, annam na nindyat. So how the poor people will have food then? These yajnas, they were happening in one place or the other, will be an opportunity for those people to do annadanam, and for all the poor people also to avail of it. Our temples will do annadanam otherwise. So the idea was service to the society, that was done through religious channels. And we did not have social service as a separate department. Even art was not a separate department for us. All through religion only we learnt everything. And so anna srishtihi. Literally it means what? Cooking the food and distributing the food. That is part of an yajna. In tamasic yajna, what will he do? He will do yajna, but will not share his wealth with others. So asrishtannam. Literally srij. Srij means to create, to cook in this context here. So without cooking food, that means what? Without distributing food. Then mantraheenam, a ritual without proper chanting of the mantras. It does not mean mantra itself is not there, because without mantra, it cannot be called an yajna at all. It has to be called an yajna, it should be with the mantras. So here mantra means the swaraheena. When a mantra is recited, it should be recited properly with proper pronunciation, swaras and all that thing. So swaralopaha and varnalopaha, all those things, certain letters are swallowed when they recite, are wrongly pronounced, intonations are not maintained. So that's called mantraheena. And finally, adakshinam, dakshinam, adakshinam. He will be excellent in everything he does. Colorful lights, video, all those things he would have put. But when it comes to giving dakshina to the priest, he will count so many times. Should I give or not? That Swamiji says, you know, for pushpartham akshadan samarpayami, upavidartham akshadan samarpayami, nevidyartham akshadan samarpayami, finally dakshinartham also akshadan samarpayami. For dakshina also, I will give you akshatas. It doesn't work. So a person has to come, give dakshina also. It is part of the ritual. That car does not come to the poor priest, for example. You know, he has to give. So what is happening? What is happening now? The priests are now becoming like the endangered species to some extent. That means even if you genuinely need a priest in a few years, they won't be available at all, because they are not supported. That means the Vedic culture will go down. For every other job, like, you know, that doctors, engineers, for all of them, there are so many things. But when it comes to dakshina, because for all other things you get TA, DA, this, that, and all compensatory allowance, this allowance, city compensation allowance, so many things. But here when it comes to dakshina, this person will insist that he follows the tradition of grandfather and the great grandfather who gave only, those days, you know, we used to have this anas. I don't know, those things, they don't exist anymore. One anas, two anas, and all. That's what my grandfather gave. The same tradition I am following today also. So I will also give only that much. So many other things they will not follow, parampara, but they are very particular to follow this. So they will not also do properly, because one yajna will not help them. So they will take many assignments on the same day, because the priest, how they will survive? So they come and do one ritual in one place and go to another place. They will keep on running, because they have to make a living also. Of course, this becomes greed also in some cases, but we are telling in general. So adakshina. And above all, what? Shraddha virahitam. There is no shraddha at all. He does only for the sake of parents or neighbors. For example, upanayanam is a must before wedding. So he has to do it. But there is no shraddha at all. Or some people, they have fear. If I don't do shraddham, something will happen to my children or my next generation. So that bhayam or something, some other thing, that will compel them to do the shraddhas. So shraddha virahitam yajnam tamasam parichakshate. So such an yajna is called tamasic yajna, which is worse than rajasic yajna. Rajasic person will do akramam perhaps, but he will do according to scriptures, vidhi. And he will give dakshina also, chant mantras, even though he may do it to boost his image, but still he will do it. But only thing is, he wants name and fame for himself, but he will do it properly. Whereas the tamasic yajna, he does not do properly at all. In both sattvic and rajasic yajnas, both are done properly, except that one is done as a nishkama karma, sattvic yajna, and the other is done as a sakama karma, rajasic yajna. But in tamasic yajna, the very yajna itself is not done properly. And the very motive can be sometimes harmful to others also. Suppose cyclone is coming, he does an yajna so that he does not hit New Jersey, but should hit Pennsylvania. Cyclone comes, should not hit anywhere, should go to the ocean. No, let it go and hit Pennsylvania. So therefore, when I want to safeguard me and let someone else suffer, that kind of attitude people have. When it becomes harmful to others, it is tamasic yajna. In sattvic yajna, I wish for the well-being of the entire world and myself. In rajasic yajna, I wish for the well-being of myself only. And in tamasic yajna, I wish for the well-being of myself, even at the cost of the world and the people. And for a spiritual seeker, sattvic yajna alone is allowed. Shloka 14. Deva dvijaguru prajnam pujanam shaucha marjavam brahmacharya mahimsacha shariram tapa uchyate. So with the previous shloka, the three types of ahara, three types of yajna, both are concluded. Now the next item Krishna has promised to do is what? Tapas, tapaha. We should remember the shloka where we enumerated aharastvapi sarvasya trividho bhavati priyaha yajnas tapas tata dhanam tesham vedamimam shrunu. So yajnaha, then tapaha. And in tapas, Krishna is going to do a peculiar thing. First, he will talk about tapas at the level of three instruments. So, karana drishtya, trivida tapaha. So, three types of tapas from the standpoint of instruments, karana. The tapas is divided into three. And later, he will divide the tapas from guna drishtya, trividam tapas, based on the gunas. And incidentally, the meaning of tapaha, we have seen actually several times earlier also. Tapaha means the discipline of the instruments and action to establish my mastery over my instruments. That is, I should not be a slave to my own instruments. Because when I become a slave to my instruments, the same instruments become my enemies. Not just only master, my enemies. But when I am the master, they become friendly to me. Actually, if you remember the sixth chapter, Uddharedatmanatmanam natmanam avasadhayet atmai vaihyatmana banduhu atmai varipuratmanaha bandura atmatmanastasya yenatmai vatmanajitaha anatmanastu shatrutve vartetatmai vashatruvate. We have seen all those shlokas. So the mastered instruments, they become our friends, and the unmastered instruments, they become our enemies. Instruments are indriyas. So controlled instruments are our friends. Uncontrolled instruments are enemies. It is not only in spiritual field, in any field for that matter. When we drive a car, is the car a friend or enemy? It all depends. I don't know how to drive the car and I started. A car which is not in my control will take me to Yamaloka. And a car which is in my control will take me to my destination. So same thing is true with respect to our sense organs also. And tapas also can be defined. So something is true. So with respect to sense organs, if they are in your control, they will take you wherever we need to go. So tapas can also be defined as willful self-denial to establish my mastery over sense organs. So the idea is what? Tapas involves both do's and don'ts. What should be done? What should not be done? In fact, every vratam, ekatishi vratam and all that, every vratam is a tapas only. Maunam is a tapas. And this tapas is very useful for sankalpa shakti, confidence. அவர் கிரேட்டஸ்ட் ப்ராப்ளம் இஸ் வாட் செல்ஃப் டிஃபிடன்ஸ் ஆத்ம அவஸ் அவஸ் அவ தி இன்ஃபீரியாரிட்டி காம்ப்ளெக்ஸ் A person always has this inferiority complex. Can I do that at all or not? Will I be able to do it? And every vow you fulfill gives me confidence. And later it will help even in transforming my mind, even in following my virtues. I decide to give up anger, depression. All these are extremely difficult now because our sankalpa shakti is weaker. So tapas is a very, very important sadhana. And this tapas is divided into three types based on the instruments, karana. What are they? Kayikam, vachikam and manasam. Physical tapas, kayikam, oral tapas, vachikam and the level of words the, and verbal discipline and manasam means mental tapas. And the 14th shloka, kayika tapas is defined. 15th shloka gives vachikam and 16th manasa tapas. And at the kayika tapas level, We have tapas in two forms also, in the form of doing something and in the form of not doing something. So, what are the things to be done now? Deva Dvija Guru Prajna Pujanam, first line. The physical puja is one form of tapas, which gives me control over my body. Because the greatest problem with the body is what? It is the embodiment of tamas, always dull. So, alasyam, laziness. And alasyam hi manushyanam sharirastho mahan ripuhu, greatest enemy. We have got the greatest enemy in the body in the form of laziness, which starts right from getting up in the morning. So when the alarm goes, press the snooze button for next time when it comes. So how intelligently they have devised it? In winter, the laziness will be maximum in the morning. So they made it in such a way that in the month of Margadi, in the Dhanurmasa, you have to get up early to do the puja, Dhanurmasa puja. If the choice is given, we will never get up at all. So it is only to destroy alasyam, they made a thing like that, we have to get up early. That means at the body level, one should be active. So pujana, that's a pujana. And then we should keep the puja and not jogging, etc. in the morning. One can do jogging to remove to laziness. Why should you keep it puja? If you go for physical exercise, etc., what happens? If you are doing for the sake of body, then the body, abhimana only will increase. Deha abhimana will increase. We will become more conscious of the body, health, cholesterol, all those things. So they did not want us to do anything purely for the sake of the body. At the same time, they did not want us to neglect the body also. So what is the idea? The method is, in which body is also not neglected and dehabhimanam also will not be coming at a time. So they said, go to the temple. So your mind is centered on that Lord and dehabhimana will not be there. And while going to the temple, what are you doing? Walking, do pradakshinam 108 times. Do namaskaram also for each pradakshinam. All the exercises are taken care. But you won't know your health is improving when you do this. Similarly, puja. Every time you have to get up, doing namaskaram, so many rituals, some physical activity connected with religion should be done. And so, deva, dvija, guru, prajna, pujanam. Devaha means Ishwaraha, God, puja to the Lord, to the deity, at home and in the temple maybe. And dvija pujanam, brahmanas, representing those who follow the Vedic style of life. All those people, not just anybody who follows the Vedic style of life. So Brahma means Veda. Brahmana means one who studies Veda and follows the lifestyle accordingly as given in the Vedas.
Etatra brahmanaha shammarshinaha yukta ayuktaha aluksha dharma kamasyuhu.
So if you see the definition of Brahmana, anyone will prostrate to him. If he behaves according to the definition. He lives for the society and does not keep anything for himself. He lives almost the life of a sannyasi only in day-to-day life. High thinking and simple living. Such a cultured person, he is called a dvijaha. Worshipping him is good. Therefore, dvijaha. Then guru, worshipping the teacher, the acharya. Then prajna. Prajna means a wise person, a jnani. Other wise men, other than the guru also. There are wise people. And what is the difference between a dvijaha and a prajna? Dvija is only a cultured person. need not be a wise man, need not be a jnani. Remember, a cultured person need not be an atmajnani. When we say jnani, atmajnani, a person who follows dharma shastras but who has not come to moksha level yet, you know, he has not come to moksha shastra. One who follows karma kanda and he has not come to jnana kanda at all. But prajnaha means a wise man. He is cultured or not, should not have any doubts at all, period. A cultured man need not be a wise man, but a wise man by definition will be a cultured man also. Because being a cultured man is a stepping stone to become a jnani. He should become from prakrita purushaha, he should become a samskrita purushaha. Only through dharma one can go to moksha. One should understand. So mukta purushaha is a dharmika purushaha. So dharmika purushaha need not be a mukta purushaha. So dvija prajnaha. So dvija need not be a prajnaha, but prajna is invariably a dvijaha. So pujanam of those people. And then shaucham. Shaucham is cleanliness, purity. Purity of what? The body. We are not talking about the mental purity here, because mental purity will be set in manasa tapas. So we are talking about still kayika tapas. So here only physical purity. Here we are confining ourselves to kayika. So saucham means here taking bath, wearing clean clothes, all those kinds of things. Then arjavam. Arjavam, this we have seen earlier also. Oneness of thought, word and deed. Totally harmonious. What he thinks, what he speaks and what he does. So what I think, say. What I think is what I say. And do the thing which I said. So arjavam involves coordination of all the three levels. Thought, word and deed. But the body part of arjavam is what is mentioned here. And then brahmacharyam, ahimsacha. These two are in the form of don'ts. The previous ones are in the form of do's. So in yoga shastra, the previous ones are called niyamas. And this one is called yamaha. So if in yoga shastra, there are 5 niyamas and 5 yamas. This also we have seen in some other context earlier. So in the next class also we are going to see it. The body has some natural tendencies which are not good for spiritual progress. And such natural tendencies should be avoided, withdrawn. Body naturally avoids certain good things which we have to make it do. And whatever not good things the body naturally tries to do, that should be made not to do also. And what are those? Ahimsa. The tendency to do himsa. The moment I have a problem, immediately the tendency is what? Is to do something against the other person. So himsa is natural. So some of the animal tendencies, cruelties are there. We have to polish those tendencies. Ahimsa. And brahmacharyam, which means avoiding the tendency to indulge in sense pleasures in excesses. So to the extent we become the slave of the body, we don't say that the beauties of the creation should not be appreciated. You can appreciate them, no problem. Tongue has got tasting ability. We can taste the food, all right, no problem at all. But what we say dangerous is becoming slave to the tongue, becoming addicted and giving over importance to the physical, over importance to the physical body. So physical life is only 1/4. We have got a mental life, an intellectual life and a spiritual life. So if all the three higher lives are made subordinate and physical life alone is made primary aim of life, then it becomes a lopsided development. Krishna says, don't indulge in such development. We do have a physical personality, but that should not be given undue importance. We have to give importance, of course. So that is brahmacharyam, sense control, self-control. And as was said earlier, brahmacharyam and ahimsa are at the level of withdrawal, yama type of disciplines, withdrawal. Pujanam is niyama type of discipline in the form of doing. In the Ashtanga Yoga of Patanjali, these are two steps. Yama, niyama, asana, pranayama, pratyahara, dharana, dhyana, samadhi. All these Ashtanga, these 8 are called Ashtanga Yoga. So we have to begin with discipline. But there, Patanjali, he enumerates 5 things under Yama, namely Ahimsa, Satyam, Asteyam. Asteyam means not stealing, Brahmacharyam, and Aparigraham. Aparigraham means not possessing too much. Simple life one should lead. So we have talked about all this in the beginning of the 6th chapter, just only a refresher. People can refer to those notes. So these he calls as Yama, because they are withdrawal from our natural tendencies. And if we feel like possessing, that should be avoided. అండ్ ఇన్ నియమ హీ పుట్స్ ఫైవ్ డిసిప్లిన్స్ ఆల్సో. దే ఆర్ కాల్డ్ శౌచం, తపః, సంతోష. సంతోష ఇస్ కంటెంట్మెంట్, కంటెంట్మెంట్ వాట్ ఎవర్ వీ హ్యావ్. అండ్ స్వాధ్యాయ, స్టడీ ఆఫ్ ద స్క్రిప్చర్స్. అండ్ ఈశ్వర ప్రణిధానం ఇస్ పూజ, డూయింగ్ పూజ. అఫ్ కోర్స్ ఇన్ యమ అండ్ నియమ పతంజలి హ్యాస్ నాట్ మేడ్ అ డివిజన్ ఆఫ్ కాయికం, మానసం అండ్ వాచికం. సో దెన్ దే ఆర్ ఆల్ మిక్స్డ్ అప్ దేర్. సమ్ ఆర్ ఫిజికల్, సమ్ ఆర్ మెంటల్, సమ్ ఆర్ యునో అట్ వాచ్ వెర్బల్. బట్ కృష్ణ ఈస్ డివైడింగ్ యాజ్ కాయికం హియర్ అండ్ ఆల్ దీస్ కమండర్ శారీరం తపః, ఫిజికల్ డిసిప్లిన్స్. దట్స్ వై కాల్ ఇట్ శారీరం తపః. అండ్ ద నెక్స్ట్ వన్ ఈస్ టాకింగ్ అబౌట్ ది వాచికం ఇన్ శ్లోక 15. అనద్వేగకరం వాక్యం సత్యం ప్రియహితం చయతే స్వాధ్యాయాభ్యసనం చైవ వాంగ్మయం తప ఉచ్యతే. సో వాక్ తపస్, దిస్ ఈస్ అ వెరీ వెరీ గుడ్ అండ్ ఇంట్రెస్టింగ్ టాపిక్, ఇస్ కన్సిడర్డ్ టు బి అ వెరీ ఇంపార్టెంట్ డిసిప్లిన్, యూనిక్లీ గ్లోరిఫైడ్ ఇన్ అవర్ కల్చర్. వీ డోంట్ ఫైండ్ ఇన్ అదర్ రిలీజియన్స్ అట్ ఆల్ దాట్ మచ్ ఎంఫసిస్ ఇస్ గివెన్ టు అస్ ఇన్ అవర్ కల్చర్. కేయూరానభిభూషయంతి సతతం ఖారాన చంద్రోజ్వలాం న స్నానం న విలేపనం న కుసుమం న నాలంకృతామూర్ధయాం వాణ్యేకా సమలం కరోతి పురుషం యా సంస్కృతా ధార్యతే క్షీయంతే కలు భూషణాని సతతం వాగ్భూషణం భూషణం. వాట్ ఇస్ భూషణం? వాట్ ఇస్ అలంకార? వాట్ ఇస్ ఆర్నమెంట్? You are not decorated with wonderful garlands and all other things like, you know, keyura, hara, all those so many nice things, beautiful snanam, vilepanam, powder, scent, all those things, by all of them, all these things really do not add to your beauty. The refinement of a person is dependent on the refinement of the language he uses. Vakbhushanam, bhushanam, that alone is bhushanam, vakbhushanam, that we call as సంస్కృత వాణి, ద రిఫైన్డ్ స్పీచ్. యూ కెన్ ఈజీలీ జడ్జ్ ఎ పర్సన్ బై ద లాంగ్వేజ్ హీ యూసెస్, ఎస్పెషలీ డ్యూరింగ్ ఎ ప్రొవోక్డ్ సిచ్యువేషన్. సో దే సే ఫార్ స్పిరిచువల్ ప్రోగ్రెస్ ద ఫస్ట్ డిసిప్లిన్ ఈస్ వాక్ డిసిప్లిన్. యాక్చువల్లీ ఇన్ వివేక చూడమని ఆల్సో శంకరాచార్య హీ సేస్ దాట్ బికాస్ వీ షుడ్ రిమెంబర్ స్పీచ్ ఇస్ అన్ యాక్షన్ బికాస్ వాక్ మీన్స్ టు బీ వన్ ఇట్స్ వన్ ఆఫ్ ది కర్మేంద్రియాస్ వాక్. And so, since it is an action, it can produce good results or evil results. I have to be extremely careful in using that instrument, walk. And especially in the case of speech, because here there is no expenditure at all. I just speak. In others, we can reduce because it may cost me money. Because when it comes to speech, we have the freedom of speech. And it is free also. Therefore, it can be easily abused. So vak tapas becomes very, very important. So how to observe vak discipline? A person beautifully, he wrote that, before you talk, you ask 6 questions to yourself. This is before you talk. First question, decide what to talk. Don't talk because you have to talk. So talk something. But talk if you have something to talk. Don't talk because you have to talk something. But you talk if you have something to talk only. How do you decide whether there is something to talk? For that, ask the question, what is the benefit of talking for me and the listener also? If you really observe our speech, most of the time, nothing is achieved except waste of time only. Because mostly our talks will criticize others in their absence, gossip, criticize the government, all those things. Again, if I talk something about which I am not clear, that also will cause a lot of damage. Because often all rumors are based on half-baked information. It is like when someone vomited something black. Somebody vomited, threw up, vomited black. And it spreads. Finally, it went spread so much rumor. Why they vomited black. You know, black is like, black color is like this. Finally said, well, black color like crow. So when it went to the final person, he said he vomited a crow. So avoid all doubtful talk, like I think he may come, etc. I think he may come, I believe, all those things don't. When it spreads, they will all become gossip. And if you observe this first rule, our talking duration will be reduced by half or even 1/3. And the second point is whom to talk. Because first thing is what? Whether to talk or not. Now whom to talk. Because remember, talking is for communication, not for passing time. like sitting in a train, right? So communication involves two things, a giver and a receiver. So I should make sure that the other person is interested in listening to me. That is why they say, for na abrishtaha kasyatit bruyat. Don't talk anything unless the other person asks, especially advice. Advice only normally people give freely. Often the other person wants advice, but he does not have faith in me. Never talk to a person who will not give sufficient weight to your words. No use. So there is no point in asking and talking to such people. When your words will become fruitful, only speak. So sapalam walk it should be. It should not be just a waste walk, waste talk. And the third one is when to talk. So whom to talk, then when to talk. Talking is communication again. The other person must listen and absorb. That means his mind should be calm and quiet. Any communication takes place only in quietitude. So trying to communicate when the other person is agitated, that is useless. To an angry man, we cannot communicate, even if you are right. So when I try to find fault with the person, then also I am not communicating, because the moment I tend to point out his mistake, he will become defensive. Then he gets excited and angry. So trying to point out anyone's mistake directly does not also work very well. Similarly, the other person has a lot of things to talk. His mind is already full. At that time, if we try to talk something, there is no empty space for him to grasp what we are going to talk. So a listening mind is a very rare thing in the world. Often in conversation, five people will talk simultaneously. And if you really observe who is talking and who is listening, most of the time, all are together talking and no one is listening only most of the time. So when to talk is another important factor. And fourth factor is where to talk. We should know where to talk, especially when criticism, etc., they come. If you do it in front of another person, it is very difficult for the other person to accept because his ego is hurt. Many do not recognize that fact. Call him aside and tell him if you need to. Glorification can be done in public, but criticism should be done only in private. Even friendships are broken because of that. And the fifth factor is how to talk. That also we can make it beautiful when we directly point out a mistake. That person may be wounded. So what do? We can always find a nice method. Point out the mistake in an indirect manner. Hair in the food, for example, when you eat food, there can be some hair. Instead of shouting at the wife, you might say, how beautiful the hair could have been if it was on your head. Some people say things like that. So instead of telling half empty, you say half full, that kind of thing. So how nicely to tell also is very important. A thing presented in a wrong manner at a wrong time will not give positive effect at all. Pleasantly, nicely, convincingly, no, tell all those nice things. And the sixth factor is how much to talk. For example, you had gone on a trip to Mount Kailas or somewhere and come back recently. Suppose you go to some gathering, like, you know, wedding or, you know, meeting in some social gathering, a friend's place or something like that. If you want to talk about a trip, you should be conscious of the place. Wedding, lot of people coming and going. At that time, I should not start right from the time I started to plan, book the tickets and all those things. For all that, he must meet me and ask that question as a courtesy. I should just say it was fine and nice, that's enough. If you want to talk about it, either go to his house one day or invite him to your place, and when both are free, then you may talk. So one should know when and how to give a brief answer, elaborate answer according to the circumstances. And many people ask such question only as a courtesy. How was the trip? Only one question. And many times when you walk, they ask you, how are you? You just say, fine. If you say anything else, he is not listening to you. He's gone. So after the brief answer, if they are still interested in more, then give appropriate answers instead of elaborate stories. So I should know how to curtail my talk, censor my talk. So if I obey all these six rules, that is called vak tapas. What to talk, whom to talk, when to talk, where to talk, how to talk, and how much to talk. Then we will find that our words are respected and purposeful. People will pay attention to us. So Krishna is telling here, anadvega karam satyam priyam hitam. He is giving four conditions. Anadvega karam ఇస్ అ వర్డ్ విచ్ విల్ నాట్ డిస్టర్బ్ ది అదర్ పర్సన్. ఉద్వేగ అనుద్వేగ మీన్స్ ఉద్వేగ మీన్స్ డిఫరెన్స్ అనుద్వేగ వితౌట్ సో వితౌట్ వూండింగ్ దమ్. దట్ వీ కెన్ సే అహింస అట్ ద ఓవరాల్ లెవెల్. ఈవెన్ వెన్ ది అదర్ పర్సన్ హ్యాస్ వూండెడ్ మీ యు నో టిట్ ఫార్ టాట్ దట్స్ నాట్ అవర్ ఫిలాసఫీ. We want to communicate, that's all. Anudvegahara. So when we wound a person, communication stops. So ahimsa, follow that. That then satyam should be truthful. There should not be a gap between thinking and my speaking, which will create a split personality. A speaker personality and the thinker or intender personality. So satyam is not having a double personality at all. Speaker and thinkers are one and the same. I speak what I think. Then priyam. Pleasant vakyam, pleasing, polite. So mardavam. Then hitam. Hitam means beneficial. Flattery also is pleasant to the other person. By flattery, I can spoil him and pull him down also. Both I can do. So not only be pleasant, it should be beneficial to the other person also. All these four conditions must be fulfilled in our speech. And Shankaracharya says that these are not optional ones. All the four are compulsory. Even if there are three or and if there are three and one is missing, that is not adequate. All the four should be there. That is, then it may appear impossible. If we really examine, in most of the cases, it will be possible. Once we have trained ourselves, even in ticklish situations, we can find cases, it will be possible. So we can find one nice method of communication or the other to communicate without hurting anybody else. It is only a question of skill development by proper training. Okay, these four disciplines should be followed throughout the day and day after day. And these disciplines are in the form of restraint, mostly yama, more like yamas. So we feel like shouting, then we don't shout. We feel like telling lies, don't tell. Make a conscious effort not to. So these are all negatives, the don'ts. Don't do that. And what are positive tapas? Swadhyaya abhyasanam chaiva. Regular study of scripture, swadhyayam and abhyasanam, which includes parayanam. Need not be read with meaning. Even parayanam is vak tapas. Because two benefits are there when doing parayanam. Since the scriptures are sacred, the very parayanam itself gives mental purity. So samsara, you know, it creates a samskara in us, parayanam. So there is a palam for just mere parayanam. And second thing is, parayana makes you familiar with the shlokas. Then after some times, these shlokas, they get memorized. Then it is very nice for contemplation. That is nididhyasana later. So we can take the shloka itself and just contemplate on it while driving or traveling. And look at various situations, how you could have conducted yourself and engage yourself in such thoughts even for hours. It's all possible. This is swadhyaya that helps. So vangmayam tapa uchyate. And all these four, they are called vak tapas, vangmayam tapas. With this, Krishna has concluded the tapas at the level of kayikam and vachikam tapas. We will see the manasam tapas in the next webinar. Yo vedadau swara prakto vedante cha pratishtitaha tasya prakriti leena seya parasamaheshwara. Krishna atma. Narayana.